aspects of growth in the life of a person. They're threefold. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. And we're talking today about the super growth hormone that is needed today to be ingested by the body of Christ. We're not talking about synthetic steroids, you know, that kind of stuff. We're talking about a growth hormone that comes from the presence of the Holy Ghost. And in Luke chapter 2 and verse 40, it tells us that Jesus grew in three dimensions. He grew physically, he grew mentally, and he grew spiritually. And these three dimensions are what prepared him for the weight of glory that was placed upon him. The weight of glory. Now, I don't know what weight of glory you're looking for, but if it's greater glory than what you've experienced, then you're going to have to change and grow in order to be able to carry that weight of glory. You know, I see my little grandkids and they're amazing. Oftentimes they'll try to pick up a chair and move it. And they struggle, and maybe they can get it a few steps. But then I'll say, let me take that, and I pick it up rather easily and put it in the position that required, because they haven't yet grown to the place to handle the weight of that chair. You get what I'm saying? And so you have to kind of grow into heavier weights. I know when I first started working out with Paul 3 years ago, almost three, 2.5 years ago, I never worked out with weights before. And so I started on the left side of the rack, 10s and 8s, 15s, and occasionally I'd pick up a 20. And now that I've grown a little bit, I'm on the, well, not the extreme right of the rack, but I'm heading that direction, and I'm picking up 40s and 35s and all of those, because I've changed to be able to carry a greater weight. You understand what I'm talking about? God wants to pour out the weight of His glory on the earth and in this region. And church, He cannot give us the substance of His glory in that capacity when we're like grandchildren trying to pick up a chair and can't carry the weight. So we need to be ingested today with a supernatural growth hormone that will cause us to grow up quickly. To cause us to grow up quickly. I want you to go to Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. And I just want to say to all the graduates, congratulations. And we haven't forgotten you. We are going to get to all the graduates. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Watch this now. This is very important that you follow me in this. And so if you're having trouble concentrating, pinch yourself. This is really, really important. So I'm going to be very slow and systematic in this. I want you to see this truth. And we'll continue in this next week. But Luke 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. That's a very powerful verse. It talks about Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit, but notice, He came from someplace and then was filled with the Holy Spirit and then was driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. The Jordan represented death. The Jordan represents death. He was baptized. The heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit lighted upon Him as it were a dove, right? And the voice was heard from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." But you know, Jesus wasn't satisfied with a dove anointing. Nor was He prepared to stay at that level. So the Holy Spirit said, "Okay, let's go to the wilderness." Now you all know what happened to the wilderness. Temptation. Everybody say temptation. Temptation. This is where I believe the church has been for many, many centuries, really. But in our modern era, decades. Because in the wilderness, Jesus was being tempted of the devil in the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of eyes. And yet he overcame him. But notice he was filled with the Holy Spirit and went to the wilderness. And I believe the church, like many of us, have had the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We spoke in tongues. We went to church. We served on committees. We sang songs. You know, do all the church thing. But we just can't seem to get out of the wilderness. Doggone devil. I mean, I keep getting tripped up. Man, I'm hungry. But I'm hungry for the wrong things. I'm hungry for the things of this world. And so I go ahead and I command stones to become bread. Doggone it, I messed up again. So back out to the wilderness we go. We love being elevated to the pinnacle of self-exaltation. We love that. Oh, we love it when people know our name. We love it when everybody puts our name in the bulletin. We want to thank Sister So-and-so today for the beautiful whatever. We just can't seem to get out of the wilderness. But I want you to drop down to verse 14 in Luke chapter 1. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout all the surrounding region. Now, when did he go back to Galilee? He went back to Galilee when the devil had ended every temptation. He departed from him until a more opportune time. So in other words, Jesus left the wilderness not being filled with the Holy Spirit. You see that? Okay, stay with me. He wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say that. He came into the wilderness filled in the Holy Spirit, right? How did he go out of the wilderness? In the power of the Spirit. Big difference. The power of the Spirit, the dunamis, the miraculous ability of the Holy Spirit. Here's what God is speaking in my heart. I want to transform my church. I want to take my church from the wilderness to defeat the temptations that have been holding on to their life, the flesh pursuits that have kept them wandering in the wilderness, and I want them to finally defeat the enemy so I can dispatch and send them into Galilee. Now, what did Galilee mean to Christ? If you know the miracles of Jesus, if you study the Bible, the large percentage of miracles that Jesus performed was in Galilee. He walked on water in Galilee. He multiplied loaves and fish in Galilee. He cast out devils at the Gadarenes in Galilee. He healed Peter's mother-in-law of a great fever. He healed the paralytic coming down from the roof in Galilee. Jesus performed many miracles. As a matter of fact, his first miracle was at a wedding in Canaan. And there in Cana, he took what? Water and caused it to be wine. It is symbolic of the power of the Holy Spirit that was evident in his life. And I'm telling you today where God wants to take us as the body of Christ and where he wants to take you and me as a church on the North Coast is out of the wilderness, dealing with our flesh and our temptations and our constant falling into sin, and leave that place and begin operating in our life in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because all of us in this room have become agents of God to do great works on the earth. So we see now in verse 14 that Jesus partook of something. He partook of something. He partook of something while in the wilderness. He was able to take this growth hormone. And in the next few weeks, we'll break it down and find out the ingredients so we all can take it. Because it's time that we grow up. Aren't you tired of church whiners? I don't know about you. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're just content to coddle them and to counsel them and, you know, to make, you know, just get let them have their way so they'll stop whining. I don't know about you, but I am tired of church whiners. I really am. I mean, you know, okay, you can whine when you're in a mother or grandmother's arms at 6 weeks. But after 16 years, it looks just a little bit ridiculous for us to have to wear a spit-up rag when we talk to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, actually, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. When we're looking at this particular scripture, we've read this before, but I want you to read it in a different light. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation," what does he do? "He makes a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." So in the wilderness, Jesus was tempted. But in his temptation, the Father made a way of escape for him. What was the way of escape? I said, "Lord, I want to know this way of escape. Because I and a lot of other Christians are tired of not finding the door. We want to get out of this temptation, but we keep falling back into it." Can I get a witness from anybody in here? Okay, good, good. I'm in the right church. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17 talks about the glory of the Lord, that we are being transformed from glory to glory. And, you know, the light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. The challenge and the temptations that we have had are only to strengthen us to be able to walk in a more eternal weight of glory. And so when I'm going through difficulty, I realize that this is just a training exercise. I don't like it at the moment. I have to tell you, and Paul's sitting here, I don't like it at the moment at 6 a.m. in the morning lifting weights. I'm thinking I could be in bed, I could be at Bob Evans, I could be anywhere but here, and I'd rather not be there. But after I leave, I'm glad I was there. It's an interesting thing for a Christian that's growing. While you're in temptation or while you're in trial, you don't want to be there. But after you come through on the other side, aren't you glad that you were, because you realize now that you are growing in an ability to carry a greater weight of glory? So I'm not worried about trials. I'm not concerned about them. But I just have to say this, that God's glory is more than a cosmic power. God's glory is a physical representation of the character and the presence of God. And we've got to start flowing in that in our homes, our relationships, our marriage, and our corporate gatherings. Can I get an amen? And glory in someone's soul will impact your lifestyle. So the greater the glory, the greater the lifestyle for Jesus. But here's a question I have asked myself. Why do we hold on so dearly to the place that rejected Christ? Why is this world so important to us and so valuable to us when it was the place that rejected him and cast him out? What did Jesus find? He found grace in the wilderness. He found grace. After his baptism, he hungered for something. Luke 4 verse 2 said he was hungry. I don't know, because he was fasting, naturally we think immediately he wanted a burger. I think he was hungry for more than food. I think he was hungry for glory. I think the church has a hunger problem. Hungry for the presence of God. Hungry for the manifest glory of God. Hungry for the miracles and the healings. Hungry for the Spirit of God to arrest a sinner. Hungry. Jesus was hungry. And we find that when he was hungry, he wasn't hungry for the bread, but he was hungry for the Word of God. Because the Bible tells us that when we increase in knowledge, we increase in grace. And grace is a favor of the Lord. He needed that favor of the Lord. He found something else. He found faith. In verse 6, he said, "All authority has been given unto me. If you'll just bow down and worship me." But Jesus entered into a realm called trust. He was grounded and settled in his faith. And he nurtured his faith by speaking the Word of God. Speaking the Word of God. There is no hope for America without us leaving the wilderness. I say that with all authority and conviction in my heart. America is doomed unless the church leave the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't believe that. You keep watching the Dow Industrials. You keep watching the price of oil. You keep watching the conflicts around the world. You keep looking at the political agenda and the confusion of America as far as what they call right and wrong, good and evil. We are in a nation in crisis. There's no political answer. There's no economic answer. There is no church denominational answer. There's only one answer. For the people of God to come out of the wilderness of temptation and begin to enter into these streets, into your jobs, into the marketplace, into relationships. How? In the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the only way that God would receive the glory, that we would lay hands on the sick, that we would gain a testimony of Jesus Christ as the only risen Savior, that there is an undisputed champion of the world. It's the only hope. Church in the wilderness brought us into this place. Church, as usual, has brought America into this place. While we have been having church, the world has been going into hell in a handbasket. Jesus found a third thing there. He found the anointing. He was asked to come to the pinnacle of the temple and look at all the kingdoms of the earth. But Jesus understood something. He said, "You know, my eyes are set on something higher." Watch this. "My eyes are set on something higher." Matthew 3:16 was a dove anointing. But Jesus knew Ezekiel 47. He knew that there was a river that flowed from the throne room of God. And as it flowed, it got deeper. Everybody say, "Got deeper." Why am I asking you to say that? So that you will mentally get a picture of a river that is flowing, trickling, a stream into a river, and then finally a mighty rushing river into this great basin that is too deep to ford, and you have to swim. Jesus knew that there would be a capacity of the anointing of the Holy Spirit in his life that would be so great. It wouldn't be ankle high, it wouldn't be knee high, it wouldn't be waist high. And he wasn't about to settle for a pinnacle authority where he could elevate himself above everybody else and say, "Look what I've accomplished." Because he recognized in Matthew chapter 17 that there was a transfiguration anointing that was waiting him. He was a weight of glory that he was about to fall into, that he, through obedience and grace and faith and anointing of the Holy Ghost, he was going to become transfigured right before Peter, James, and John in the brilliancy of God's presence. And glory to God. Don't we as a church want to be transformed in the face of this world where they will see lives changed and the glory of God coming upon you and your family? There's a higher weight of glory that is awaiting you this morning. We've set our sights too low. We have accepted average as the norm. We have become families that go to church and are not the church. We are individuals that read our Bible, but we've not become the Bible. We haven't been transfigured. We haven't been transformed. We've got to think in terms of leaving the wilderness where we are of limitation and temptation and get into Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit, church. You and I can all live there. You know, this is the end of an era of the star mentality of the church. We don't need big shots in the church. We don't need entourages with names of people plastered on all kinds of magazines and on television shows to do it for us. There is a stirring in the body of Christ because we're hungry. We're hungry for the presence of the Lord, and you and I, all of us together, can operate on this level. Now, let me tell you, growth means change. I remember as a young boy, my parents were very frugal, and oftentimes I would have to wear pairs of pants that we called high waters. The reason why we called them high waters is because in case there was any high water, they wouldn't get wet. And the purpose of that was my mother was always thinking ahead. No, they fit on the waist. They fit down through the torso. They might be a little short, but you can still wear them. But Mom, I'm growing out of those pants. These shoes hurt my feet. Mom, this shirt looks ridiculous on me. I look like, what was his name? Urkel? Urkel, whatever his name was. I look like a misfit. You know what I'm talking about? A misfit. Church, we're growing. We're growing in the glory of the Lord. And you cannot stay in the former wineskin. You can't stay in the jeans that are too short. You can't stay as a misfit. Change, growth means change. And you are changing. You are changing. You are growing in the Spirit. And that means you've got to put on a new anointing. You've got to put on a new anointing. Hallelujah. Yeah. To put on this new anointing means until you make room for the changes in your life, you won't be able to grow. I believe that even as the Jews began to return to Israel. Do you remember the returning back about 10, 15 years ago? Do you remember that? They were coming out of Russia. They were coming out of Poland. They were coming from all over the world. Northern Africa. Did you know that? And they were going back to Jerusalem. There was a drawing. It's prophesied by Ezekiel. It's prophesied, Zechariah. It's prophesied that God in the end times would call His natural people, Israel, back to Jerusalem. And that nation's population has swollen over the last 20 years. And it's because God is prophesying that there is a returning that is happening among my people. And let me tell you something. If there's a returning in the natural, there's got to be a returning in the spiritual. And I believe with all my heart, we are going to return in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm looking at miracle workers. Signs and wonders will follow you at the preaching of God's word. I'm looking at every person in this room as a prophesying person to speak words of knowledge and declaring, thus saith the Lord over people. I'm looking at people who in the restaurants and in the grocery stores will immediately think of one thing. Let me pray. Let's pray right now. What do you mean you've got a problem? You know what? You can't hardly go anywhere in public without somebody disclosing to you their trouble. And we say, well, you know, times are tough. And if we're real bold, we'll say, we'll be praying for you. And that's about as far as we get. But why not put the rhubarb down? Why not put the gallon of milk aside? And why don't you say, let's just join in prayer right now, because I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I feel the glory of God all over me. And I believe that what's in me can get on you. And I believe your son can be healed. I believe that marriage can be restored. That's where we're going as a church. Are you ready? Are you ready? Do you want to go there? Are you hungry for that this morning? Now that's the introduction of my message today. I'll get to the rest of it later on. I think it was appropriate, MJ, that today was designated as honoring graduates. You know why? Because when someone graduates, it's defined as having completed a course and ready to move on to another level. And may I say today, as we celebrate these graduates in these last few minutes, that the Holy Spirit will speak to you and ask you this question: what have you graduated from? And now, where is your calling? You'll hear in a minute the calling that's been decided by some of these students. They're going here, they're going there. But where are you going? Where are you going? Circles? The wilderness, one more time around? Or are you going to leave the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit? Can I get an amen, huh? All right, MJ, come on up here and help me. And let's get ready to celebrate these graduates this morning. We're very excited. And as I get ready to go, let me say June 22nd here in Lorain will be our healing and deliverance service. Are you fasting with me? And then the 29th in Beechwood. Then the 14th, I think, back here in Lorain. I'm not sure exactly the dates. And then in August, again, our camp meeting from the 7th through the 10th. And then if God moves as powerfully as He did on the last one, we will begin every Sunday night healing and deliverance services in September. Amen? And if God continues to move as powerfully on those as He did that last healing and deliverance service, we will begin every night of the week. How many would like to do that? Amen? I believe that God wants to set this region up for graduation. Thanks, MJ.
I'd like to ask my wife to come forward. And Ms. Von Netta, Mr. Dan, if you could head on up. Graduates, we're going to have you come up to the third step here. Make your way all the way across. And we're going to go ahead and read some of the information that these graduates had on their piece of paper. Isn't it neat that we have people in the church that are smart? That's a good thing. And we don't have just high school graduates this morning. We actually have college graduates as well. So we're going to honor them as well. The first young lady that we'd like to bring up this morning is Sophia Atkinson. Sophia is a graduate of Clearview High School. Her future education is attending LCC. And then she's going to transfer to Kent State for bachelor's in radiology. Her future plans is Sophia wants to stay close to home so that she can watch her baby sister grow up.
Candace Buford. Candace is a graduate of Villa Angela St. Joseph High School. Her awards and achievements include peer ministry, prom committee, community network anchor, attended the Right to Life in Washington, D.C., assisted with outreach programs in culinary arts, woodworking, service award to senior class. Her future plans are to attend Brown Aveda Cosmetology School and then to college to major in business management and open up her own salon.
I can see you owning your own business. Doesn't she look like a businesswoman? Our next graduate is Michelle DeVore. Michelle is a graduate of Vermilion High School. Her awards and achievement is Student of the Year, Honor Roll, National Honor Society, Lions Club of the Month. Her future education plans is she wants to major in middle childhood education at Ashland University. And after she graduates, she plans on being a middle school social studies and language arts teacher.
Our next graduate is John Flowers. I don't know if he's here. not here. He's not here today, but he is going to get a bachelor's degree in business and open up a recreation center in town because he feels it's greatly needed. So if you see John, give him a good pat on the back.
Our next graduate is Stephanie Grossman. Stephanie is a graduate of Vermilion High School. She is a National Honor Society Awards member, yearbook editor, Youth Alive secretary, and honor roll. Future educational plans, I'm going to hug you too, just so you know. Future educational plans of Stephanie plans to attend Bowling Green for 4 years to major in broadcast journalism. Ooh, see her on TV possibly. And after graduating college, she will intern at the Jim Baker Show for 1 year, and her long-term goal is to be on Fox 8 News.
Our next graduate is Megan Matei. Oh, she's sick. I'm so sorry. Oh. Well, she's graduating from Clearview High School and plans on attending Kent State University in the fall to major in fashion merchandising and business. And she plans to work in the fashion industry as a buyer and fashion stylist. She's not feeling well this morning, so let's keep her in our prayers.
And this guy is a character, Andrew Metz. Andrew is one of the funniest young men you'll probably ever meet. He'll just make you laugh and laugh. His achievement, I love what he put down. Graduating. He has made Alicia and I smile for many years now. He's leaving for the United States Air Force on June 24th. And his heart is to be an air traffic controller. So.
Our next graduate is Steve Mitchiff, graduating from Elyria High School. He has many awards and achievements in wrestling. Steve was a 4-time state placer and state champion, a 2-time freestyle champion, and one of only 5 Lorain County wrestlers with at least 160 career wins. Lorain County Wrestler of the Year in 2008, and he did that maintaining a grade point average of 3.3. He's going to attend Kent State University on an athletic scholarship and decide on his major in a little bit. Congratulations.
Basically, Steve is bad to the bone. He's tough. He's been in the newspaper a lot. He is a very tough young man. Joshua Searcy. Josh is a graduate of Elyria High School, drum major in the Elyria High Marching Band, Athletic Award, Outstanding Student for Academic Achievement Award, and the Bronze ROTC Medal for Leadership. Josh's future plans is to become a drum major at The Ohio State University. And Josh is smart. I know he's going to do this as well and get a PhD in computer science and engineering or psychology. And Josh has always been a part of our small group, and he said to me, MJ, one day I think it'd be neat to build a robot. And I thought, Josh, you could do that. You could do that. He is a smart cookie.
Our next graduate is Amber Washington. Wow. She's graduating from Southview High School, and here we go. She's a 4-year letterman in softball, 2 years in volleyball, 1 year in basketball, on the prom committee, National Honor Society, peer mediation, key club, graduating with honors, graduated in the top 10% of her class, participated in early college. Lorraine International Queen received $22,000 a year scholarship to Ohio State University, received $400 from the Lorraine County Alliance of Black Educators, a $4,000 scholarship from Project Grad, a $1,000 scholarship from Lorraine International Association, and a $1,500 scholarship from the youth through Community Foundation of Lorraine County. She maintained a 4.0 GPA and has held a part-time job at JCPenney's. Wow. Amber will be attending The Ohio State University to major in business and fashion merchandising with the goal of being a buyer for a large company so she can do what she does best, shop and spend money.
We're going to look at our two college graduates. Our first is Rachel Logston. Rachel received her associate's degree out at LCC, and her future plans are to attend Bowling Green State University to achieve, of course, her bachelor's in secondary education for integrated social studies. Rachel will also be part of an internship program called Partners in Context and Community. After graduating, Rachel plans on working towards her master's degree, and her heart is to teach in the inner city schools.
And last but certainly not least, graduating from Mount Union College, Kyle Lott. Kyle received a Bachelor's of Arts majoring in Business, Finance, and Quantitative Analysis with a major in Psychology and Economics. Minor in Psychology and Economics. He's graduating with honors, magna cum laude, led Campus Crusade for Christ, Bible study, and led a men's small group. He has accepted his first job with First Energy and is seeking God's direction for his place in ministry. Congratulations.
Church family, we would present to you this morning, class of 2008. What we'd like to do this morning is invite the moms, dads, family, relatives. We're going to ask Minister Claire to come up, our elders. And can we surround these students and just cover them in prayer? Just a couple minutes of your time.
Elders, would you come and stand behind? We dare not allow these people to leave this platform until they are the blessed of the Lord. As we're sending them out, equates Luke chapter 10, when the Lord sent the 70 out to minister to the people. These people are going to receive such a great blessing as a result of us praying for them. Extend your hand toward them, please. Father, we thank you today for these young people. We thank you that they are your servants. We thank you that we can send them out to be a witness, to manifest your love to every city as they further their education. On their jobs, I pray that they will manifest the glory of God. Signs and wonders will go forth from these young people. I pray now for a special anointing upon them, a special anointing of the power of the Holy Ghost to undergird, surround, and cover them wherever they go. In Jesus' name, and all the church said, amen. Praise God.
What a sweet, precious moment, isn't it? But you know what? If Pastor was here, we couldn't end the service without saying, live right. Love everybody. Don't pick and choose, and pray hard. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.